many people raised their hand. And that was prompted because of a testimony somebody gave me right before service. And I was like, God, it honors you. And testimonies are so big. It's such a big deal to give a testimony. And I grew up in a way where if you said testimony, that was about the first time you met the Lord. But now when we say testimonies, we mean your daily walk with God, your encounter with God. This morning, some of you had an encounter with God right now already, today. You know, I felt His presence already. I felt His presence this morning when I read a text message from somebody. I mean, it wasn't Tommy's text message. It was somebody else's, but I was standing right, y'all know how the world is today. I'm standing right by Tommy in worship, and I look over, and he's texting. He's texting me. He said, love you. And I'm like, I'm standing right here. We could actually, like, talk, but we live in a strange world. I want to tell you a little story before we get started. The second, I'm going to give five or six of you, at least that many, I think, a chance to give a testimony about something that God's done in your life, that's something you've seen God do, something important that's happened in the last couple of months to you. Last week, I just asked you to raise your hand. This year, I'm going to make you say it into a mic, and it'll bless us. It'll bless the kingdom and what God's doing. Let me read you a story. True story. Owl's Head Lighthouse. There it is. Harvey and Catherine have been there. It's still up, still there. And it sits atop a large rocky cliff guiding ships as they enter Rockland Harbor in Maine. In the 30s, the keeper, Augustus Hammer, had a special dog named Spot. This is one of those dog stories that's going to make you all cry. It's great. This very intelligent Springer Spaniel was taught by the keeper's children to ring the fog bell by tugging on the rope to the bell with its teeth every time it heard a ship's whistle. The dog's entire life seemed to be wrapped around the family at the lighthouse, the fog bell, and the ships that would pass by the lighthouse. Spot would spend the day watching for ships passing near the lighthouse, and then would run over and ring the fog bell when they approached near the cliff to warn them of the impending danger. When the captain of the boat returned the fog signal, Spot would happily run down to the water and bark until the boat was out of earshot. Spot's favorite ship was the mail boat that would make daily runs to various islands, including Madagascar Island, which was a long 15 miles from the mainland. Remember, it's 1930. It was a long way from back then. Because of its daily schedule, Spot knew the mail boat's engine sound. Y'all know dogs do that, right? Any of you have a dog that recognizes your car? It's so cool. Isn't that cool? He would recognize boats. He'd recognize the daily boats that went by. And Captain Stuart Ames of the mail boat was so fond of the animal and its owners, and he would always bring special treats when he visited the Hammer family. Each time the mailboat passed Owl's Head Lighthouse, the skipper would give a toot for Spot, and the dog would answer by ringing the fog bell and bark until the boat was out of sight. Then one wintry, stormy night, a fierce blizzard, true story, pounded the Maine coast and covered it in a blanket of deep snow. That's that lighthouse with snow. And Keeper Hammer stayed in the light tower, but visibility was so poor with near whiteout conditions from the storm. As the following day wore on, fewer vessels passed by the lighthouse, as most had already found shelter in the nearby harbors. The fog bell was buried in deep snowdrifts and remained silent as no one could access it in the storm. As nightfall approached, Keeper Hammer felt it was finally safe that he could leave the tower and join his family for a much-needed dinner. He had been up there for 2 days. As the family was preparing to eat, their phone rang. It was a desperate call from Captain Ames' wife, who indicated her husband was over 2 hours late and asked if he had passed by the lighthouse yet. The dog recognized the woman's voice and listened to her tone. Keeper Hammer replied he had not seen the mailboat. Knowing of Spot's keen listening ability, she asked the keeper if he could allow Spot outside in the blizzard to see if he could hear her husband's whistle, which they gladly obliged. Spot disappeared into the blinding snow and went down over to the fog bell to listen for the boat's whistle. He sniffed around, but he could not find the rope. It is covered with snow, right? After he stayed for a long time, and then finally he returned back home, cold and tired. But as he sat by the fire, he grew restless, whining softly. I'm not supposed to be the one who cries with the dog story. I've just got something in my eye. This stinking allergies, I hate them. I may need a Kleenex. The allergies are so bad. Dad, give me a Kleenex. Thank you. Stinking allergies? I can't even read the paper. Thank you. Whatever. You're a good man, Dan. I don't care what they say. Okay. Keeper Hammer and his daughter Pauline got dressed and followed out to join Spot, who was still barking by the edge of the cliff in the snowdrifts. They could hear the faint whistle of the mailboat as Spot continued to bark and yelp while the boat came nearer and nearer through the storm. Spot would continue to bark as the boat neared the cliff. Captain Ames on the mailboat, hearing Spot's barking, knew where to go. He gave three blasts of the whistle to signal back that he had heard the dog and made it past the rocks. 2 hours later, Captain Ames' wife called to thank the Hammer family, and especially Spot, in helping her husband reach the harbor safely, get home, averting what could have been a disastrous situation. Spot was credited by the Coast Guard, I guess, with saving the captain and the mailboat that night, and he's buried near the fog bell that he loved to ring. Over the years, as the fog bell was removed and the grave lay in a place that the many visitors to the lighthouse could not find, in 2004, Spot was given a new marker by Paul Dilger, the Coast Guard commander who resided at the lighthouse. The marker read, "Spot, the lighthouse dog," to remind everyone of his heroic efforts. Lighthouses. Lighthouses are fascinating. Everyone recognizes them. But there's something I want you to know about your testimony. If you don't get anything else today, get this. Your testimony, I wrote it here, so we'll get it. Your testimonies, not just the testimony of the first time you met Jesus, but your ongoing living testimony of God's importance to your life, of His goodness to you, of His greatness to you. Your testimony is actually built on the rock, not a rock, the rock, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your testimony is built on that. Become a lighthouse that guides others, guides people through the storms of life. You see, that's how important testimonies are. They're not just stories. They're amazing, blazing lights that someone who's stumbling along in their life, they're hitting a storm, there's chaos happening all around them. When you give your testimony of the living Christ in your life, it gives them a beacon and it'll take them through the storm. Today I want to talk about that. You see, I think it's really true. Patrick Hawkins, he was up here leading worship this morning. I don't know what happened. He takes pictures and videos of weddings and does that kind of thing. And he's doing a wedding, you know, in Searcy. They have lots of weddings there. They have a college there, so there's lots of weddings. And Patrick's doing a wedding. And then sometime later, I get somebody, a lady who loves Jesus, has a family, loved God her whole life. She contacts me because of her contact with Patrick at a wedding, not a church, at a wedding. And she sent me an email or something. Oh, no, this is actually from, so she posted this on, was it Instagram, Patrick? Instagram. That's a social media place. So I'm going to read it. Patrick sent it to me, right? He sent it to me. She said, now this is because Patrick shared testimonies with her. She lives in some other state. She doesn't live here. She said, I've been following a sermon series that looks at Gideon's victory over the Midianites. I've been preaching on Gideon for a long time, haven't I? The pastor has done an excellent job. I have to read it all. He's done an excellent job highlighting the fact that throughout this battle, emphasis is everything, guys. Right? Highlighting the fact that throughout this battle, Gideon is consumed with fear. But despite his fear, he chooses to trust God. He even asks for a sign twice, right? We talked about that. And God doesn't condemn him for this. God graciously gives him the signs. Then she's talking about last Sunday. Today, the pastor, me, oh gosh, I forgot world video. Hello, world. I'm really not that way. But today I am. Today, the pastor asked if God has noticeably worked in anyone's life in the last couple of months. She writes well. I didn't say that way. That's a better way than I said it. Have you seen God work noticeably in your life? I asked you guys last week. And then she says, with full confidence, I can say that God has done huge things in my life. She wants the world to know. For as long as I can remember, I have been totally controlled by fear, which has paralyzed my ability to make important decisions and robbed me of joy. But through Christ working in me, through His Word, through this series, through the pastor, through friends that He's placed in my life who speak truth over me, I can finally say that I no longer feel consumed and controlled by fear. Come on. And guys, it wasn't just, it started with a testimony, right? From Patrick. And then you guys, worship touched her last week. Her watching the videos, and we know our videos aren't the best in the world, but her watching the videos and her friends and the scriptures, all those things together, right? I can finally say that I no longer feel consumed and controlled by fear. I feel as if I'm preparing to jump from a mountain. A mountain that I haven't wanted to climb, but have now finally reached the peak. The very peak I've dreaded and agonized over for an extremely long time. I find myself at the top. But instead of fear, I feel peace, trust, and love. I'm thankful to be here. What a turnaround. Jesus turns our worlds upside down, doesn't He? With certainty, I can now jump, trusting that my Father will catch me. How wonderful it is to be able to say, "You'll catch me. I trust You." You know, we sang. Sing to His face. Look Him in the eye. What a great thing to be able to say, "You'll catch me," and know He's listening to you. I trust You. Sorry for the long post. It probably could have been summarized into this. I 10 out of 10 recommend trusting in God to guide your decisions. She's given that as a testimony, right? Testimonies are powerful. Testimonies change the world. Testimonies are what we were created for. And y'all are doing it all the time. You're doing it all the time. And we forget how powerful they are. Your personal encounters and walk with the Lord. And so in a couple of minutes, I'm going to ask if four or five of you, you know, we can probably have at least that many that would like to share a testimony this morning. I'm going to ask you to do it. And I want to read a Bible verse. Yeah, Joe wants to. Of course, I knew Joe wanted to. And so when I ask you, Stephen will be over here, saying on this side, go to him. Then one at a time, you can come up. And I want you to speak it on the mic, and I'll teach. Hold the mic close, right? Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. When Jesus died and rose again, he defeated Satan once and forever and forever. And his authority and his throne and his room in the heavenlies has been casted down. And he cast down and Satan's now on earth. And we need to understand that. Now, here's the next verse. And it's a big deal. Verse 11 of Revelation 12. They triumphed over him. Who's they? That was Jesus talking. He's the one who cast him down. He was a loud voice. And now we're they. You're they. When we pray for each other, but we do that because the Holy Spirit in Christ is now inside of us because of Jesus' resurrection. Where's Jesus? I know he's in us in the Holy Spirit, but he's seated in heaven on a throne. And now the Holy Spirit's working in each one of us. And guess what he says? They triumphed over him, and here's how we do it. We give you three points, right? This is how you triumph over the darkness, right here. The blood of the Lamb. That's everything. The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The word of their testimonies. Every one of us have testimonies all the time. And they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Now, I want to talk about the blood of the Lamb because that's everything. When I talk about the gospel, that's really what I'm talking about. Is our life, our source of life is Jesus Christ. Our relationship to Him is everything. And you know, you can go to John 6 all the way through John 14, 15, 16. And all the way through you find this theme. Jesus says this in John 6, 25. This was after he fed the 5,000, right? It's after, and there were like 15,000 people there. Jesus has done this mighty miracle. He walked on water across the lake, and he gets to the other side, and here comes the crowds. And when they found him, they said, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus said, truly I tell you, you're looking for me. Boy, he gets right to the point. You're looking for me because you saw the signs I performed and because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Oh, ouch. You see, Jesus is everything. But it's so easy to take our focus off of Him and your relationship with Him and put it on the stuff He gives. He does give amazing blessings. Look at this nation we live in. We have heat. We have air. We have everything. Most of you didn't, you know, it's like it's amazing. But are you looking for Christ? Or are you looking for stuff? He said, you guys are looking for stuff. You want another meal. You want me to meet your physical needs, which he does over and above everything we've ever deserved. He said, don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. What does he mean when he says we triumph over them by the blood of the Lamb? We should work for food that has supernatural eternal life in it. That's our goal. So you go on and read the rest of that verse. They answer, what must we do the works God requires? You see, that's our natural thing to do is we want to work for stuff so we earn it, so we deserve it, we're entitled to it. And Jesus said, you don't work for this. The most important thing in your life you don't work for. The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. It's all Jesus. It's all about your relationship with Him. That's all it's about. Well, isn't it about how good I am? Isn't it about how smart I am? Isn't it about how dedicated I am and faithful? And isn't it about all that? No. No, it's not about all that. He said, here's the work of God, to believe in Jesus, that he is your life. And then Jesus said, then you're going to ask. So they asked him, Jesus, give us a sign. He said, our ancestors ate the man in the wilderness. He gave them the bread from heaven. And Jesus said this crazy thing. I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, give us this bread. We want it forever. He said, I am the bread. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirsty. And then he talks about this. Ends up, they were offended. And, you know, I used to think about that and think of it in a natural way. They're offended because they knew that being a cannibal wasn't good. Well, my goodness, everybody knows being a cannibal is not good, right? Maybe they were really offended because they had a system set up where they could work their way into favor with God that put them above everybody else. Instead of everybody living by faith, being equal and valuable. It doesn't matter if you're here or there, there or there. None of that matters. What matters is, do you live by faith in the living Son of God? It doesn't matter if you smell good or smell bad. It doesn't matter how you're dressed. It doesn't matter what color your hair is or if you have hair. Doesn't matter. You see, it's an even playing field, and we don't want an even playing field. We want to be better than everybody else. Well, I mean, you know, we wouldn't say it that way because we're too good to actually say that. None of us would do that. What if it were true that we live by faith, and whoever believes in him never goes hungry and never be thirsty? And they were messed up. Because they were looking for something concrete to do. You mean we got to eat you? God doesn't want that. He's looking for your heart. Then Jesus said in verse 53, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. The first thing you do is when you live abiding in the vine, when you live out of faith and relationship with Jesus, you see, you know what every testimony actually is? It's where you, just like that young lady said in her testimony, I trusted in God and he came through. Every testimony you ever have is going to be because I was hurting, I was lost, my heart was broken, and I chose to trust him and he brought peace. My children were sick and there was no hope for them and he brought health. Every one of our testimonies gives him glory, but it began with us trusting him. You see, that's what, then she said that. The word of their testimony, you know why it's so powerful? Because you're telling people the truth. You want to have a good life? You want to have stability? You want to have your children blessed? You want to have a future and a destiny? Trust in Jesus. Yeah, but shouldn't you go to college too? Trust in Jesus. Well, doesn't it help to have a lot of millions of dollars in the bank? Trust in Jesus. Yeah, but people admire somebody that has 500 million bucks in the bank. Trust in Jesus. And your testimony is, it doesn't matter if you have 500 million in the bank or nothing. Trusting in Jesus will give you your testimonies because God's good. And so this morning, I want to give a few testimonies. I really do. So I want four or five. So Stephen, would you come up here? And you see, I want to do this because testimonies are powerful. And every testimony you hear, Daryl gets to come first. Come on, Daryl. Yeah, so, Joe, you volunteer. You going to come up? Okay, so hold it close to your mouth, Daryl.
Okay. Up close like this?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Closer. Yeah.
So I've been reading a book by Joyce Myers called Unshakable Trust the past couple of weeks. And I was in South Carolina working this last week, laying in my motel room, and I was singing unto God and just talking, and I felt like I hadn't been hearing from him really. And I felt like I needed to get up. So I got up out of the bed and went to the table and sat down, and I just started talking to him. But while I was sitting there talking and singing, the song that we sung this morning, the first song you sung, was a song that I was singing to the Lord sitting at that table. But I got up out of my seat and I started walking around the table and I felt foolish. And I said, Lord, I feel foolish doing this. But I walked around And I pulled out the other chair and I said, Jesus, would you sit down and listen as I sing to you? And he sat down and I began to sing that song to him. He was talking, the next song that y'all sang was talking about, I don't want to talk to you like you're not in the room.
Yeah.
So that was a blessing to me hearing those two songs back to back, because I just experienced that in my hotel room this last week.
Amen. Come on.
And he spoke to me. And this is what he told me. I believe God is saying, fear not, Daryl, for I am with you even unto the ends of the earth. Be patient and endure with a heart of praise and thanksgiving, and I will give you rest. Do not complain and murmur, because what the devil means for your harm, I will turn it around for your good. Humble yourself and serve your enemies with a heart of love, and I will exalt you. Be obedient and do what is right, no matter how bad the situation may be, and you shall find favor and good understanding in my sight and with men. And I will be with you through the fire, and your faith shall come forth as pure gold.
Amen.
Come on. So no matter how foolish it may seem or feel, get up, because he will speak to you.
Yeah, come on. Good word, Daryl. Come on, Joe. I love how much courage the men in this church have. You know, most, it's just unusual. Angel's like, I'll not be outdone.
excuse me. I want to keep this under 10 hours, okay? So,
yeah. God bless you. That was a good word. Y'all give Joe a hand. Okay, one more time. Okay, you give it another shot.
Okay. Devil came in by the blood of the Lamb and word of their testimony.
There you go.
I'm a heavy equipment operator. About a year ago, I was out at, every once in a while, my boss sends me out to Dixon Road dump, push the dump off. And I was in a brand new D6 Caterpillar dozer, about 200 hours of plastic still on the seat. So I just backed the dozer up and had put the blade down. I'm sitting there when suddenly the presence of God filled that cab. I wasn't praying. I wasn't meditating on anything specific. I'm sitting there, and the next thing I know, and it was such a presence, you know, I just sit there, and it was just like, I didn't know, I was even afraid to move. Huh. And so I was sitting there, and it was like, oh my God. And you know, folks, look, I lost my dad to post-traumatic stress, okay? And I grew up with a mom that shredded every dream that I had, okay? And I'm not saying that, please, to bash my parents, but that's where I came from. And I've beat the air in front of me my whole life since I was probably, 10 years old. My grandpa was the only man that I really loved growing up. In December of 1972, I was 10 years old. My grandpa dropped dead of a massive heart attack. And since then, I've been doing nothing but beating the air in front of me. And I also had the privilege of coming and a pastor praying with me about issues from my past, too. So I backed the dozer up, put the blade down, and just the presence of God just filled that cab. And like I said, I didn't know to move. I didn't know to pray in tongues. I didn't know what to do. But the best way I can describe this is that it felt like Christmas sitting in the cab of that dozer. And I was sitting there, and growing up, the best time of my life was Christmas. That was about it, Christmas time. But you know, folks, at Christmas time, if somebody gives you a gift, you don't have to pay for it, and you don't have to earn it either, though. It's sitting there in the cab of that dozer with the presence of my Abba Father all around me. I slowly just raised my hands, and I just said, thank you. But yet, being in his presence, I wasn't praying. I wasn't praying in tongues. I was just sitting there. But I didn't have to earn that presence. When his presence came in the cab of that dozer, I just sat there.
Amen.
And he met me right there.
Come on. Good testimony.
And you know what, folks? Though, with Jesus, every day is Christmas.
That's true. All right. Thanks, Joe. Scott, come on. Welcome.
So good to be in the house of God right now. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about my background. I've been in prison 5 times, done 8 calendars, been in addiction 25 years. I've been clean now for 33 days.
Come on.
And, man, I prayed.
Dawson's
prayed.
Happy. Come on, John.
I thank
Come
y'all
on.
So much. Thank y'all so much. I just got out of natural state rehab about 10 days ago. And I prayed in there. I was like, God, why can't you just take this from me? Can you not take this craving away from me? And it's just like something I've been, I mean, it's just, I don't know what it was, but since I've been out of natural state, I did this, they marble you out whenever on your last day, and everybody says something good about you, and everybody said, oh, that could see me being a preacher and stuff like that, because I started a prayer circle, and so watch out. No, I started a prayer circle and everything while I was in there, and it was just praying.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
And God just kept working. I've been running from him for so long, and now I just see everything falling in place. My wife... she's in prison right now. She's been a pagan her whole life. She yesterday wrote me a letter and said, I need a Bible, Scott, so I can learn about this God that you serve.
Come on.
I started crying. I'm like, thank you, Lord. I mean, he's just lit a fire in me, and it is awesome. It's just God. I know it's God. You know, all my relationships are better. My relationship with my mom, I'm just humble to her. Whatever she says, I do. You know, and it's just so much. And then she's more lenient on me. I'm like, dang, that's crazy how that works. You know? Yeah. and then my dad, with my boss, Ray. Ray he's been one of my spiritual leaders for the last year. And ever since I've been working for him, He keeps that Christian music playing during the day, all day, and it's like, that's all I listen to now. But at first, I'm like, man, can't you play some rock and roll or something, man? You know, but, man, I want some Casting Crowns. I want some Francesca Battistelli. I want some, you know. Man, it is awesome. I don't understand. But, man, no, God has really taught. Man, Ray, I appreciate you so much, man. I appreciate you so much.
Yeah.
And I appreciate my mom being here, and I appreciate all y'all, my church family. Because I love all y'all, and it's just awesome how God, when you put God with anything, with three, when threes join like with a rope, like me, my mom, and God, me, my dad, and God, me, my wife, and God, it is awesome, and nothing can break you from it.
Come on.
Thank y'all. I love y'all.
Come on.
Amen.
Good word. Good word, Scott. Love you. Yeah. Angela, I don't know how you're going to follow that up. Stephen, get ready. Get ready to take her down if she needs it.
I want to wear yours.
You want to wear mine? You can
I've
wear mine.
I've never worn them before.
I don't have to hold it.
Golly, I was sitting and I just prayed to give me the words because I'm clean a year.
1 year. Good.
Drugs have been a part of my life since I was 16. I've been clean maybe 3 years since I was 16. And I'm going to tell you, I'm 49. And I just wish I'd have done it so long ago. But the Lord has, I was trying to think of what I want to talk about. And I want to tell you something that I've learned just recently that has changed my life. So, you know, you pray and you wait for God to answer those prayers and, you know, things happen. Well, I want to start with this. This morning, this lady put that red thing over me. And on the way to church, me and Cody were talking about the fire of God. Yeah. So I was just like, she said, I'm going to give you the fire of God. And I'm like, okay, we just talked about this in the truck, Lord. So that was just confirmation, you know. And but anyway, I do step work. I'm in a program, and I do step work. And my sponsor had told me to change the a prayer that we have, which is take my will and my life and guide me, basically to be clean. And so I took this prayer, and I changed it to, thank you. This is my prayer every morning. God, here I am, and I'm sitting on your coattail. Wherever you go, you're going to drag me there. But I know that anything I go through, you're going in before me. And I'm not scared, and I don't care how bad it is. I'll get through it, and I'll have a testimony that'll help somebody else get through it.
Yeah, come on.
And the last thing I say before I say amen, I surrender all. I surrender every day, y'all. Two or three times a day, because I see myself getting back in my wheel. My wheel don't work. My wheel is dark and dirty. I ain't gonna lie, my wheel is dark and dirty. Yes, preacher.
Yes, yes.
Lay hands on me real quick.
No. Go, go, go.
But I love my life and I love my family. A prayer that I prayed for my mom. She had a heart attack.
Yeah.
And I remember driving her up there and saying, God, that's my best friend, and you can't take my mom. Do something. So when we get there, they do EKGs, and they tell her, you've had a massive heart attack. You're going to have damage, and we're going to do a test. I love you, Mom, to see what the damage is. So we're sitting in the room, and the doctor walks in, and he dropped the mic. He, dropped the paperwork. He's like, I've been doing this for 30 years, and I've never seen it. I've studied about it. I've read about it. But she had broken heart syndrome. And her heart was going to be repaired by itself within a couple of months.
Wow.
She's fine. He said it's probably going to come back bigger and better.
Yeah.
thank you, Jesus. But just surrender every day and watch your life change. For real. That's where I have seen, and in all my recovery, I've tried a lot of things just to get joy. I look in the mirror and I'd be like, yeah, I'm glowing. I am shining. My eyes are white. Surrender every day as many times as you feel you need to, because the more you do it, the better life gets. That's
Amen.
All I got.
Come on. Preach, Angela. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Stephen, take her away. That's good. So there's a purpose in testimonies, right? It's the power of God getting released in our world. It really does happen. You know, it says this in Psalm 121. You see, it doesn't matter. Don't get the idea that you have to have an addiction or go. Without Jesus is hell. It doesn't matter who you are. It's just a lot of us can cover it up real good. Every day. We need Him every day. And when you have Him every day, you have testimonies. And when you share your testimonies, it sets captives free. God wants to set people free today. And people in here, people online, people you're going to see this week that you can share someone else's testimony with. And, you know, there's 100 more. I mean, y'all should hear Phil Hogue's story about the red scarf, the red thing. That I remember it, Phil. It got him. He wasn't real sure about that scarf stuff when he first came here. And God does stuff, you know. So I think it's a big deal. That young lady, 10 out of 10, recommends trusting in God to guide your decisions. I do too. And then when He shows up, which He will, and He does, share your testimonies with people, because it becomes a lighthouse they can follow to freedom. And that little dog story gets us, right? That crazy little Springer Spaniel, they are really intelligent dogs. Some of you have had one. It knew, and its bark led that man to safety so he could make it home. Do you know your testimonies become a lighthouse that can lead people home? They're so important. They're so important. And we all have them. Now, we're going to finish this verse because there's another part to it. They triumphed over Him by the blood of the Lamb. You see, the truth is, Jesus already won the battle. He set us free so we can come to His dad, so we can come to Him. But as you come to Him, you begin living by His flesh, by His blood. As you begin to do that, right, then you're going to have testimonies to share. Then there's another part. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. I'm going to talk about that. And there's a three-legged stool here. This is how you beat the enemy. You beat the tar out of the enemy when you do this, and that's what you're here for. We're here to defeat him. All the darkness in the world, the body of Christ is here to take back what belongs to the Lord. God's going to set captives free. So this morning, you know, they did this. Jennifer, you can come on up. Let's all stand up. Let's just stand up in the Lord's presence. We've been in His presence so much this morning. I told you we were going to have fun today, didn't I? And y'all thought I was going to be real funny today. No, y'all. Who said no? Dawson, you said no. No, He's fun. He's fun. These testimonies are fun. And we could stay here for 2 hours. But I think today is one of those days when there's decisions. Jesus is asking everyone to come home. All. Nothing's separating you from Him right now. What matters is in your mind. He's done His part. The devil can't stop you. I mean, Satan himself can't stop you from coming home. Jesus is calling you home right now. You know, I was so glad when I was 24, living for me, and I realized that it was no fun, no life, no nothing. I didn't have any problems. I had everything a young 24-year-old man could ever dream of, and I wasn't happy. And one day I said, Jesus, I'm coming home. 40 years later is still the best decision I ever made. Best decision I ever made. Jesus is asking you to come home today. Maybe you know Him. Like I wasn't going to hell. I'd already been saved. But I hadn't given Him everything. Maybe you just haven't given Him everything. And He's saying, come on. He wants to give you testimonies like you heard, and way beyond what you heard. And you know what the funny thing is? Just like that little dog, that lady's husband was lost in a boat listening for that dog. There's people waiting to hear your testimony in your family, your family, in your neighborhood, where you work. There's people waiting to hear you. And when they hear you, you become a lighthouse. And they can find their way home too. So this morning, I believe God's calling us. I think we're at a super special place as a church where we're focusing. We're focusing and we're putting our light out. We're putting out our small groups, our connect groups, our ministries. We're putting our lights out to lead people home. So this morning, I just want to, Harvey, we got some people that want to pray, right? That'll be up here. If you're on the prayer team, would you come up? We have people that want to pray with you. If you want to come home, today's a good day. And then you become the light. So God, I just ask today that no one would leave here without making their lives totally available to you today. That God, none of us would hold back. God, I just ask you to give us strength and courage. Jesus, I ask that you would reveal to every one of us where we're at. I heard the Lord saying this during worship, and it's like He's saying, what's your next step with the Lord? It's not you haven't had steps. I believe we've all had steps with the Lord. What's your next step? What's your next step? God's wanting you to come home. So, Father, I just ask you to give us courage today to step out and act on what the tug in our hearts, what we're seeing, what we're hearing. Even if you don't understand, we don't understand, God, I ask you to give us courage to act on what you're doing today. So today, Jesus is asking you to come home. He's really asking you to come home. So, God, I just thank you for that. So, we're going to be dismissed. Communion's still open. And I really like this. I stuck this in my pocket. The communion, the bread is made in heart shapes. I took it twice because I need a lot. So, communion's still open. The prayer team's up here. Thank you for being here. Thank you guys for giving your testimonies, for being brave today. Thank you for your patience, and thank you guys. Blessings.